Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. It's the second hour of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. And we always broadcast live from New Zealand because, yeah, it's where I live. And unfortunately, in fact, I want to make a confession to the audience here. I really, really want to come and see America and go see the world. It would be great, you know. Actually being able to shake hands with and hug all these really amazing people that I get to interview and so on and so forth, it really improved my quality of life to be able to get out of this stinking cesspit of corruption and scumbaggery. Like, seriously, people think New Zealand's, like, not corrupt or whatever. You know, there's some kind of stigma out there of New Zealand being, you know, happy, nice, honest, decent, loving. And it couldn't be further from the truth, okay? You know how corrupt America is because it's really obvious. It's in your face. You have no idea how corrupt New Zealand is because it's so freaking corrupt that anybody who would ever expose anybody who's even slightly corrupt is completely corrupt. Coming out on holiday. We've got the, what was it, Lonely Planet just published that Auckland, where I live, is one of the top 10 cities in the world to visit for tourists.
Where?
Auckland, New Zealand.
Oh, I thought you said Auckland. I thought you were about to say Auckland, California. I was about to...
That actually happened one time. A dude got on a plane in San Francisco because he didn't... hear the pronunciation correctly. He meant to go to Oakland, but he wound up on an entire flight going to Auckland. That's gotta suck, man. Because it's like 24 hours round trip kind of thing.
I don't know. After hearing Lewis Black talk about the plane ride down there. I don't know. I would love to come down there. I would love to go somewhere else. This isn't a good time to be visiting other countries. I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm just being honest.
Yeah, it's not a good time to be visiting other countries. You know, a lot of people ask me, you know, do you want to go to America? It was a couple of years ago, and I was thinking a little bit differently about it, you know, it's plugged into the fear-based paradigm of the movement here. And I was like, no, there's no way I'd ever go to America. Not now, man. I mean, would you visit Nazi Germany in 1935? No? Because it's a complete Nazi police state with thugs walking around, roid raged, tasered, maced in the face? Is that the kind of America that I'm going to? Because that's the places where I'd be, you know? When I come to America, I'm going to fuck around, man. I'm not going to, like, spend my days in Fuddruckers or something like that, chowing down burgers with Monterey Jack cheese. I'm going to be getting out in the streets. I'm going to be meeting and talking to people. I'm going to be exposing scumbaggery.
You mean you're not going to come to Iowa?
Why wouldn't I come to Iowa?
Why would you?
Why? Well, the Berkey water filters don't.
Not
yet available in Iowa for a good reason, because Iowa sucks.
Exactly. Now, you know, there's a lot of hardworking people, you know, in this state. Unfortunately, there's also 49% of the state is on welfare. So that kind of tells you something. Most farms are subsidized. Most are run by corporations. The family farms are gone. It's all corporation. By the way, Iowa, here's another little tidbit that Iowa can be proud of. Iowa, home to the most offices of Monsanto anywhere else in the world. We have more offices for Monsanto right here in Iowa. Isn't that special?
They probably employ 49% of the population, bro.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah. You know, I didn't think about that. That's something to think about.
Here's the thing. There is a direct connection with the quantity of Monsanto in your particular local economy. And how good that economy does, right?
If you have lots of Monsanto,
you have a very poor economy.
That's actually a good point. I didn't really think about that, you know, in that context. But yeah, it does make kind of sense. You know, it does make good sense, I guess. And by the way, Monsanto's stock has been falling a little bit, which is I'm happy for. I don't want to see anyone lose their slave job. I mean, I know how much we all depend on it here in the United States. You have to go to work you have to work more hours now for less money than you did 10, 15 years ago. But people are having a hard time, and I don't want to see anyone lose their jobs and lose what they've worked hard for. However, I think getting rid of Monsanto eventually in the long run would be a great thing.
Imagine if Monsanto was outlawed. No, I mean, like, seriously, outlawed. Like Prohibition, you know?
That'd be awesome.
And Monsanto would have, Monsanto executives would have to dress up in, I don't know, bowler hats and carry knuckle dusters around in their pocket while they start selling their wares to people, you know?
It is really just disgusting. The more I found out about Monsanto and what they'd actually been into and how they started, what they were into, what they did to my home state of Alabama, Anniston, Alabama, back in the day, they were just dumping PCBs right into the ground. And of course, it was in the lower income black neighborhoods that they were doing all this. All the people down there suffered. And with tumors and you name it, it was just awful, awful stuff. And I didn't even know. I grew up there and didn't even know. And now that I know, I feel awful because I didn't know then. And I didn't pay attention then. And that's what I'm here for, is to try to maybe enlighten somebody who doesn't care, who's got their head stuck in The Voice or some other stupid reality TV show that really isn't reality. And it's basically just a, you know, way to walk these stars across that really haven't done that much in a few years. So they walk them across the line and make them famous again and pay, you know, nobodies to come out and pay them a couple bucks to come out and they think they're famous. You know, it's just pathetic, really, as a society, how we've gotten to this point. And it's amazing on the
other side. We're not the first society to get to this point. We're not the first. In fact, it happens a lot of the time when societies are in decline. A lot of the important problems you'll get solved, like as soon as you solve a society's problems for, well, more or less just transport, food, water, shelter, security. Once you've got all of those covered, people lapse. They suddenly have nothing to be afraid of. There's no natural predators to thin the herd. There's no survival of the fittest anymore. And you simply cut off the evolution process. So then devolution begins. People collapse into licentiousness. They have a predominated instinct to go after things that are about instilling, shall we say, excitement to the senses. So because you don't need to worry about who's the greatest scientist coming up with the next new invention to advance humanity into a greater path to glory and enlightenment, instead, now you can focus on who makes the best food? Who can stand on a platform for the longest without moving? Who can dress the prettiest? Or walk the best? Who can sing the best? Who can eat the grossest thing? This is what humanity has now had to resort to entertain itself. And that's just the stuff that's on television. There's so many other ways in which our true ability and creative potential are being subverted slowly but surely by distracting us with little challenges and little achievements and little players who don't matter one iota to the future of humanity. In fact, it will only bring us back to the Dark Ages, and history always proves that the exact same thing happens. You know, sports stars become really popular now, right? Like celebrities, like they're important people. Really, tell me one thing that a sports legend has done for the entirety of humanity. I mean, physically, you know, show me something tangible that their sports achievement actually bettered mankind. No? Because it's creative potential. All right. Creative potential creates something tangible. For example, a man invents a computer microchip, or a man invents a new form of engine. Okay, these are things that are actually have real value, technically exist in reality, have direct correlations between cause and effect. A team wins a game of some kind. You can point at little things. Sure, you can say, oh, it injected such and such money into the economy. Yes, but money without any purpose to it is wasteful, right? And so what we're now currently living in, is the most wasteful society that has ever been devised by man, or any other entity for that matter. You know, just read a Facebook post today, Johnny, that the food that we throw away in the West is able to feed the entire world's hungry, no child excluded, three times over.
But we have a food shortage, Vinny. Isn't that what they're touting? We have a food shortage? That's why we have to reduce the population? That's what that's what all these the bigwigs say. We have to reduce the population down to 600,000 people or 600 million or whatever it is because our food's going away.
Yeah, well, I can guarantee you, you look into the background or the membership lists of any of these people that you're talking about who promote anything quote-unquote sustainable or anything to do with reducing the population, and you'll find that they all belong to very similar groups. These will involve politicians, celebrities, scientists, doctors, you know, the whole load of mix of influential people. They simply get recruited, indoctrinated into the way of thinking of the elite, think that they're above it all, think that they're not going to be the first ones to get exterminated when the New World Order takes over militarily. That's a big mistake. It's just, have you noticed, have you ever seen that movie, The Mummy?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There's a great scene in it where his friend betrays him, right, you know, to the mummy. And he says, you're going to get yours. You're going to get yours. And he goes, right, like I never heard that before. And of course, at the end of the day, he does get his. And it's one of the worst endings to your life you could ever imagine, being eaten alive by beetles. See, let's think about this. If you're helping the New World Order agenda today, right, I don't care whether you're a psychopath and have no conscience or anything like that, you don't have any empathy for the pain and suffering and anguish and scumbaggery that you inflict upon other people. I know you don't, because you can't. If you are in a position where you're helping these evil, borderlining on full-on demonic scumbaggery entities like Monsanto, if you're actually helping them at the higher levels and you think you're on the inside, you'll actually be the first person to be killed. Why? Because you're the person who knows how it actually went down. You're the person who actually has the ability and position of power and influence to betray the person who you're currently following the orders of. You are, in fact, the biggest threat to this empire that is being set up. And that's why Hitler executed a heck of a lot of Nazi SS officers that helped him take over Germany right when he did it. Because he knew anybody with sufficient knowledge of the system, true background stories about how it's set up, will be a threat to you. Much like in the same way that Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia were a threat to their father, Darth Vader, because they had knowledge of the Force and ability to control it. You understand?
Right. And it's much the same when you get into millionaires, these guys like Ted Turner and Bill Gates and all these people who really think they're powerful because they have a lot of money. They have a lot of money. I'll give them credit. They do have a lot of money. However, they don't have enough money to escape what's coming. And they think they're immune. And a lot of these people think that if they acquire and accumulate so much money and fame and all that, that they will be like these Hollywood actors, these rappers and these rock stars and all that. They think that they're immune to all this stuff. I got news for you. You're not. Like you said, you're probably going to be one of the first to go just because like you said, they have the power to actually change something. And that's when you see people disappear off this planet, is when somebody actually has that power, a reporter or an actor or something that has inside knowledge, when they actually produce that knowledge, when you see somebody die suddenly for no reason, then it needs to raise your antenna and you need to do your research and find out what did they, who were they involved with? What did they know? That's the important thing. That's what the questions you should be asking, not, oh, it's sad that, so-and-so, and we'll have a candlelight vigil. No, you need to find out what the real inside scoop is.
And there often is one. That's actually the scariest thing. People tell me, Vinny, you think everything's a conspiracy. Well, not most things, bro. Just most things. Yeah? I mean, just look around you. Even in your very surroundings right now. What are you, in a car? Or you're in a room? You're in a studio or something like that? Who manufactured all of that equipment? How did they harvest the resources for it? Boom, you're supporting the New World Order with your dollar. All right? The conspiracy is absolutely everywhere, folks. You are wearing it right now. If you are wearing a brand label, you are wearing sweatshop labor. You are wearing scumbaggery. You are literally coated, bathed, and combed your hair with scumbaggery this morning.
and the sad thing is, Vinny, is people just don't care, especially here in America. And that's one of the things that really angers me with social media. As big as social media has gotten, it is hard. It is so hard to sit and watch people. Some of the things they post about that mean nothing. They mean nothing. And it's scary and it's irritating.
Oh, they're such shills. And it's interesting that social media has, you know, become so full of shills. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. Johnny English from Broken Man Radio is my very special guest. Back in just a few moments. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My very special guest is Johnny English from Broken Man Radio. I believe if you go to the Vinny Eastwood on Other Shows page on the VinnyEastwoodShow.com, you can see the lovely guest appearance he gave me on his radio show. Was that like last week, bro?
Yeah, it was last week, I believe.
Yeah, man. I found the days are all starting to blur together, you know? Like, especially in this year, 2013, everything's been heating up. Have you been feeling it?
Yeah, and the days are moving much faster. It seems to me the time is just flying by for no reason.
And the seasons have shifted. It's very strange. We were talking about yesterday, me and my bandmate, Mikhail, about how the seasons have changed. There's been, I've lived in New Zealand my whole life, 28 years. Summer is November through February. You know, those are the summery months in New Zealand. Now, summer is like January through March, or very late December through April or something. You know, it's really, really fracked up. Everything's shifted by like a month or two.
Yep,
has anybody else noticed that?
Yeah, it has here too, by the way. Today it got up to almost 60 degrees. Tomorrow it's going to be 64 degrees, and we should be freezing right now, even during the daytime. So the way I see it, and our snow usually the last few years hasn't even started until January or February. And usually we're covered in snow in, you know, November. So, yeah, it's all shifted to like 2 months.
What the hell is causing that? I mean, well, first of all, is it scientifically measurable? Because it would explain why we have so many heat and cold sort of records being blown around the world, because the seasons have simply changed. It's almost like, what can change a season? I mean, does the Earth have to go, does have to tilt slightly faster one day, or has this been a long running trend? I mean, people, the seasons have been pretty much lock steady for a couple of thousand years or something, don't you think?
Yeah, and just when I started to investigate this, I found an article, a scientific article, and it was by it wasn't one of these bogus websites. It was actually they were talking about a shift in the poles, the North Pole had shifted, and it was shifting at an alarming rate. That it was still shifting, and the only thing I can think of is that the Earth has tilted on its axis, and the pole is actually, so our magnetic North Pole has actually changed 160 miles, which is unprecedented. It's never happened before since they've been able to measure all this stuff. So I don't know if it's that. I don't know exactly why. Is it something that we're, this is like a pre-ice age type thing? I don't know. I mean, I'm not a scientist. I can just kind of go by what I read, but it has to be something to do with a shift. Because obviously, if you're in the sun for longer periods of time, you're going to have a longer summer, and vice versa. If you're away from the sun for certain periods of time, you're going to have a longer winter. So, I'd have to agree with that theory that it has to be something to do with the shifting of the entire planet, either on its axis or the North Pole.
Well, because that's how the seasons change, So we go around the sun, and what's his name? Cliff High says is that the Earth doesn't actually necessarily go around the sun, nor does the rest of the planets. Think of the sun as a comet and the planets as sort of like particulates of its tail, and they kind of encircle the sun behind it in more or less like a spiral shape sort of thing. Right. And it produces the same effect as our current understanding of the planets rotating and everything around the sun, except the dynamic's different because the sun's a little comet that's going around this giant Milky Way kind of stratosphere. It's sort of like spirals within spirals within spirals. It's the whole kind of hologram effect. But anyway, that a lot of scientists now have given rise to the belief that we actually are living in a hologram, right? Think about it. If there was some kind of unexplained change, right? Because I would think that seasons shifting by a month or two would be massive, that it would change our entire way of life, that crops would fail and so on and so forth. But it just turns out that everything's going on as normal, except now we've got chemtrailing to save us from this terrible climate change.
Yeah, and I'm glad you actually brought that up, because that's one of the things in the last month or two, we have been sprayed so heavy here in Iowa. Now, of course, I live about 3.5 hours from Chicago, one of the busiest airports in the world, O'Hare. And that's where a lot of the planes originate. When I'm watching the skies and I'm watching these things fly out, that's where they come from. They launch from O'Hare, and then where they're going their different directions, and then you'll see the trails. And of course, they split up. Eventually, they blend into clouds. And I actually heard the news last night. It was a bright sunny day, not a cloud in the sky. And then all of a sudden, there were trails everywhere, and I mean everywhere. By the time I got off work in the afternoon, they had kind of blended into clouds. So I get home, I'm listening to the local weatherman saying, well, it's a cloudy day. Well, yeah, because you made it cloudy, you moron. It wasn't cloudy until you started spraying. You know, it's so irritating that people still fight this.
Yeah, I mean, it's like pissing on us without the courtesy of calling it rain.
I don't understand how people don't get it. I really don't, because, if you sit and yell chemtrail, 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 GMO, 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 and then people start labeling you, but yet they won't do their own research. They won't dig into it themselves, and you could bring them, you could slap them in the face with as much proof as you could dig up, and they still refuse to believe. They just
won't. You know why? Because you can't tell one person the same thing 7 times and have them believe it. But you tell that exact same person through 7 different people the exact same thing, one after the other, in completely different circumstances that were totally unrelated, they suddenly find it undeniable and self-evident. I'll tell you what, man, that's what a lot of truth is real problem is. They think that they're trying to solve the problem of this person's ignorance. Back off. Just play your part. Say one thing. If you get a response that shows you that they might be ready to know more, like they start asking a bit of a question or agree with you about it or whatever, and they actually wish to pursue a conversation, then engage in the conversation. If not, they start calling you a conspiracy theorist, they start telling you that you're wrong, you don't say, oh, why am I wrong, and start an argument and try to convince them of the truth. Just walk the frack away. And then they won't get 10 steps down the road without somebody saying, hey, bro, chemtrails are real, man. And they're like, no, BS, BS. And he keeps walking down the road. Another guy's holding a megaphone. Chemtrails are real. And he's like, oh, my God, these people again. And he keeps walking down the road. And there's another person out there with a chemtrails suck T-shirt walking past and is going, what the hell is going on here? Keeps walking down the road. And another person looks him in the eyes and says, bro, look out for the chemtrails. Look, there's one right there. And he sees one up in the sky and he's like, okay, I'm starting to get really like chills now, bro. And then the last person he sees is when he gets on the bus, and the bus driver says, hey, we need a little bit of extra money for this bus fare, all right? We're going to pay for the chemtrails. And the guy goes, right, that's it.
Well, here's a challenge I put out to people right now, and you can do this wherever you live. It doesn't matter where you live, what area of the world or the country. If you know 5 or 10 people like yourself who's awake and knows what's going on, wait till a nice heavy spray day, and it happens. It's been happening a lot here lately. Go out to different parts of the city, whatever city you live in, and go to different areas, not all in one group. I mean, just, you know. Make a sign with an arrow that points up and say, those are chemtrails, or something to that effect. Just do something like that and just have people in different areas. Eventually, somebody's going to drive by two or three of you, and then maybe they might look up. You know, it really is going to start with a grassroots type movement. That's how a lot of these things have started.
It doesn't even need to be that public or in your face. It's the slow blade that penetrates the shield. Little bit of information into a conversation here or there makes all the difference. I call it the information grenade technique. If you throw the information in, you know, pull the pin out and just say the truth, and then if there protrudes a massive explosion, well, get out of the room and let it blow up in their face later.
But I do agree with you that you need to kind of back off. Don't be so in your face, because that's how religion got to the point where it's at right now. And we all know what a mess that is. So like you said, I agree with you to that respect, where you cannot browbeat somebody to death with statistics. You just can't.
You can question them to death, though, and make them question their own sanity and the result. You do it on the intellectual judo basis. You take any response that they've got, and then you simply ask them to clarify what it is that they mean. 9 times out of 10, they won't know exactly what it is that they mean, because they didn't even have a thought in their head when they said it. It just came out, you know, as verbal diarrhea. And if you keep just rebounding all of that negativity, eventually they start to fill up with their own, and they start eating themselves. Okay, it's fun to watch. You actually get to the point, and I've done this a number of times, where somebody will be hassling me about being a chemtrail activist or something like that, and making fun of everything that I say, and doing stupid impressions and calling me names, swearing at me, and so on and so forth. And every single time he did, I would deliver some kind of amazingly witty response that made all of his mates laugh at him. And it happened like 100 times in a night. It was like a sport to me. Because, you know, you're dealing with people who have the intellectual capacity of a gnat, and you're stupid enough to think that you getting angry and treating them like they're actually listening to you with facts and statistics and figures and everything is going to help you win the argument. No. The way to win an argument with somebody like that is to make them realize that they themselves have no argument. You don't even need to define what yours is. Because once they know in their heart that they're wrong and everybody else knows it, suddenly you become right by default. Then they start listening to your statistics, facts, and figures, and proof.
Yeah, I think I've reached a couple of people in that, you know, kind of doing it that way, where it's, I don't have a lot of guests on my show. I usually get on, there's times I rant for an hour. And that's just the way I am. I don't like to keep a guest heavy show, just because I guess there's so many people that make the rounds of the media, and I'm kind of starting to look for people that didn't get as much airtime as others, but still have very useful information. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. I see your point.
I got a tip for you then. Look through the archives of the Vinny Eastwood show.
Okay.
I mean, no. Anybody who's a long-time listener to the show, you agree with me, don't you? You hear the biggest variation of subjects and the biggest variation of guests and huge amounts of people who you probably never even heard of, as well as occasionally these alleged big rotators that you're talking about, you know? Yeah. And there's an easy way to do this, bro. Let me show you the secret. You ask the listeners to recommend people and send you their email, right? That's it. You send an email away to that person saying, can you be on the show at this time? They only have one possible response, which is a yes or a no, and otherwise reschedule or whatever. And then, boom, you've got a guest already locked into your show.
Right.
It's that easy. One email or two.
Yeah, I just never was, and I probably need to be. I'm sure I need to add that dynamic to the show, because I do like having people on occasion. It does make for, first of all, a very fast show, and a lot of times a very, you know, much more interesting show. Obviously, I had you on. It was a great hour. It flew by, it seemed like. And whenever I've had guests on, it did fly by pretty quickly. So I am going to try to do that. I'm going to try to have more guests on the show. It seems like at some point in time, I'm just going to run out of things to say, even though I usually find something to rant about 10 minutes before the show.
Oh, there's always something to rant about. I mean, mate. Think about all the articles that get released every single day by the alternative media. Haven't you even noticed that? There's just so much going on at all freaking times that if you're stuck with nothing to talk about, it's because you're fucking lazy and unprepared.
I've actually had some of my better shows when I wasn't prepared. I don't know why. It just sometimes when I see, that's the kind of broadcaster I've become. I'm not jaded yet. So I've kind of tried to look, here's me and this is me. And this is all me. I'm not afraid to tell you a deep, dark secret. I'm not afraid. I've shared almost everything about my life on air at some point in time. So I'm not afraid. And if people want to attack me, it's usually a quick way to defuse them.
All right. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. My very special guest, Johnny English from Broken Man Radio. From what you cannot run, but you possibly can hide from it. In fact, you probably can run from it as well. It's the Vinny Eastwood show. In fact, it's probably a good idea, worthwhile advice to run and hide from this show at every available opportunity. Because it will hurt your brain places. because there's actually some good conversations going on here, and you wish you could be actually be involved in them. Here's an important thing. When was the last time you had a real conversation with somebody, you know, about something really important or personal?
Are you asking me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Believe it or not, well, any time that I know you're aware of Popeye. I know you know who Popeye is.
Big muscles, eats spinach.
Yeah, eats a lot of spinach. He and I have long conversations. Anytime that we talk now, but as far as close to home, somebody who's right here, believe it or not, my 12-year-old daughter. We have whenever we get into a conversation, it's very serious. She's a very serious girl. She's much like me, except obviously in female form. But she's very concerned about what's going on. And she likes everything old. She likes none of the new stuff. She likes none of the new garbage music. She likes old classic rock and roll. She likes older clothes. She likes you name it. I was going to buy we asked her, you want an iPod Touch for Christmas, and she's like, no, I want one of the old iPod, just the regular iPods. She wants to, because it looks old. I think she has an old soul, if you believe in that sort of thing. But her and I have had some really deep conversations, and it's really, I think if more parents took the time and if you could undistract yourself for a second and actually sit down and talk with your children, you might discover that they're way more involved in what's going on around us than you think.
A friend of mine is a hairdresser. His 4-year-old son comes up to him and says, "Dad, what happened to yesterday?" It's pretty freaking deep for a 4-year-old.
We're actually going to homeschool her next year. I fought this and fought this and fought this because there's still a piece of me that's thinking college. And I want my children to do better. I think anyone who has children who actually love them and want to experience their love for them and trade back and forth, I think you want nothing but the best. And you want them to have a better life than you do. Well, and if that's the case, if that's really how you feel, then you need to start talking to them about what's going on and tell them what to expect. Even though we might escape this bloody revolution, we might be able to do it in a more civilized manner, however, I doubt it. But if you show them what to expect and have them look around and actually have that deep conversation with them, you might be surprised how they react.
They might take it very maturely indeed.
I'm very much in tune with my children. I love my children more than anything else, and I am so afraid for them, Benny. I worry about them daily. I think about all the things that are going on. There are times when I wished I hadn't brought them into the world, even though I would not give them up, and I will die for them. But I hate to say it, but we have ruined this world. And when I say we, I mean us collectively as mankind. We have literally, we've just ruined everything because of greed and money and all this other garbage that we think it's all material.
Well, I think that people are catalyzing the problem, too vastly, and they say it's greed or it's money or it's food shortages or it's this. No, the only reason why anything is a problem on this planet today, other than, say, natural disasters, apart from ones that have been chemtrailed to hyper the bubble or changed the cause of them, is scumbaggery. And that's it. It ain't all the people. It's only a very small percentage. Maybe between 1% and 4%. So you're taking anything from, a few million people on the planet of 6 billion? I mean, 7 billion, sorry? It's not that big of a problem when you think about it like that. Hey, if you eliminate the scumbaggery or disable it, then you wouldn't have to be afraid for your children anymore, Johnny.
No, you're absolutely right. But only we have that power. And we, as the other 99%, are the ones that have the power but we choose not to do anything. We choose not to exert that power when we could easily do it any given day, any given minute. It doesn't matter. In 5 minutes from now, we could take this thing over. If you could convince people that in the long run, they would be better off. But what are they thinking about? They're thinking about their mortgage payment. They're thinking about their car payments. They're thinking about their college. They're thinking about their jobs. They're not thinking about survival. They're not thinking about how evil, how much evil is in this world. They just, I don't get it. I can't grasp it from my point of view.
Well, it's probably because you're not a ruthless criminal sociopath. If you were, then it would suddenly make a lot more sense to you, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess. But even with those people, I guess when you get to a certain point in life, and maybe it's because I'm getting older, I'm much older than you are. When you get to a certain point in life, the fact that you're experiencing this at such a young age is very promising, and it's very enlightening to hear that from someone that hasn't even hit 30 yet. But I think maybe once you get older, the older you get, you start getting into this survival mindset. You start thinking about more things going around, even though there are some kids out there. There's some 50-year-old kids out there. Trust me, I've seen them.
Maybe that's just because you've lived in a society that's been built up in a stronger and stronger manner in order to get you into that survival mindset so that you get out of the abundance mindset and you become your own jailer.
True. True. Very true. I hope, at least, if anyone gets anything from Broken Man Radio, is speak from your heart. Don't be afraid to tell your secrets and surround yourself with people who they don't have to believe what you believe. And I don't need people to believe everything that I say. I always tell people, do your own research. I don't need you to listen and hang on every word that I say. But if anything, I want to inspire you to do your own research and to think for yourself. And that's the key here. Thinking for yourself. Stop believing and stop feeding into the garbage and the mind games. Because until that happens, we're stuck on the same road. We're never going to branch off to something better.
I could not agree more. It's all it's about. Stop thinking like you know everything. Stop thinking like listening to somebody once is enough information to make a decision on it. Okay? The world is vastly more complex. And you know what's another thing that allegedly happens to you when you get older is that you get completely stuck in your ways and you can't change how you think and you can't change how you act. You can't change your behaviors. You can't change your body shape, right? And I think this is because, again, the influence of society is to get yourself into a rut in every conceivable way possible, a rut in your intellectual development, a rut in your spiritual awareness, a rut in your employment, a rut in your relationships, a rut with your entertainment. You know, like it's almost like you're trying to run across no man's land and trying to jump across all these god-awful trenches and being shot at by disinformation rounds at all times. It's unbelievable how many impediments are put in our way just to stop us from realizing how freaking powerful we are.
Yeah, I think if most people actually sit and thought about it and thought about all the different ways, all the distractions, it would baffle them because it's baffled me. And even though I am stuck in my ways to a certain extent, I've learned to change. And as I've changed, things got better. Things got a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. When I fall back into my old ways, guess what? Life sucks again. So, you know, if I can leave any of your listeners that don't, you know, people that don't listen to me on a regular basis, that's what I'd leave you with. Try to change and try and do make that effort. Make that effort to find a better way and to, you know, encompass everything and worry about people, but don't bow down. Help people, but don't overdo it. Don't make them dependent on you. There's a fine line there. You just have to find it. We all have to find it.
Yeah. I think it's just, there's so many problems. And what's great about that is there's also really lots of people. So it means if everybody just tackles one problem by themselves, you know, it's just like, a little bit of scumbaggery in my local council. I'm going to go and expose me some of that scumbaggery. Then boom, you're solving one of the big problems. And that'll actually free up a hell of a lot of people. Imagine how much more time and money on your hands that you'd have to spend on and with your loved ones because of a lack of scumbaggery. You wouldn't have to worry about whether or not somebody would be a decent bloke about these particular deals. You wouldn't have to worry about false justifications for vaccination programs. You wouldn't have to worry about being sprayed from the skies like a freaking cockroach. All you could do, live, be happy, be free, and have nobody tell you what to do or take advantage. That sounds like a damn good future to me. Johnny English, thank you very much for your time, sir. And BrokenManRadio.com, I believe, is the website.
That is correct, sir. Thank you so much for having me on, Benny. I appreciate it.
It's been an honor, a pleasure, and various other nice adjectives. And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.